Good morning and welcome to Bicycle Talk here on WHUS. It is August 3rd, 2016. I'd like to welcome you to Bicycle Talk. My name is Ron Meniza. I will be your host today, otherwise known as Pedlin' Ron, with my co-host Fran Storch. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you'd like to make any comments or you'd like to call in and talk to us about it, the number here is 860-486-9487. Or if you're listening to the podcast, you can send us an email at bicycletalk1, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. So anyway, you can also do that during the show, too, if you're listening live. A shout out to Bob from Spin Class one more time because he is on Pack Tour Day 17 and he's in Mitchell, South Dakota. And they're just rolling into Canada, 17 days of his 31-day trek across the country. And another shout out again goes out to Mike Beatty from Mansfield, our local person here who is riding his bicycle around the perimeter of the U.S. to bring awareness and attention to feeding our vets. He is currently in Little Falls, Minnesota, the last I touched base with him. So anyway, Mike is doing a really cool thing. He's bringing awareness to feeding our vets. You can go to www.feedourvets.org and look him up. And if you're so inclined to help out there, I'm sure he would appreciate that. I'm going to do something. I have been known to be a bit of a ranter and a raver. So my rant of the day, this is going to be Ron's rant of the day. I'm going to try to keep this as a regular feature of the show because there's always something that I get on my soapbox about. Fran knows nothing of this, but that's all right. Anyway, my rant of the day is I was driving my car, unfortunately, not riding my bike, down the road the other day. And I looked over and there was a dad and he was out riding his bicycle and he was there with this little kid and they were riding bikes down the road. And it was just really a wonderful moment. And the kid had this lovely helmet on its head and he was, you know, obviously having a great time. Dad didn't have a helmet on. All right. This is my rant of the day. Listen, Dad, it's great that you're protecting your child. It's a law here in the state of Connecticut, and it's a good thing that you're doing it because children need to have helmets on their head so they can protect their head or they fall down. But what if you fall down? What if you fall down and you hit your head? How are you going to be able to continue to provide for that child if you have a problem because you hit your head hard? Please put a helmet on. Please show an example. Please show your kids that, you know, it's not just for them, but it's also for the parents, too. It's an important thing. Think about it while you still can. That was a thing I used to have at my bicycle shop years ago, right next to the helmet display. I used to have the thing that just said, think about it while you still can. So anyway, parents that are out there and you're riding with your kids or you're not riding with your kids, please wear helmets. Please, please, please. We need you out there. We need you to help raise those children. And that is Ron's rant of the day. I'll leave it alone from that point. We can move on to other things in the show. So one of the things I wanted to bring up today is I wanted to talk a little bit about bicycle clothing, because bicycle clothing is kind of it's an interesting subject. We all wear, those of us who are do we call ourselves serious cyclists? I don't know. We're all serious cyclists. You're on your bike, you're serious. That's a beautiful thing. But there are those that tend to be a little more dressed up, let's say, when they're riding their bike. And you see them going down the road and they're, you know, they've got the shiny Lycra clothing on and they got bright colors and all this fun stuff that's going on. Sometimes there's, you know, flashy prints. Sometimes it's just bright yellow. Please don't hit me yellow clothing that they wear. But anyway, we as cyclists wear clothing that is specific to our sport. And just like a runner wears specific clothing that is good for their sport, as does a football player, as does a basketball player, a baseball player, they all have uniforms, and the uniforms and the clothing is designed around the personal comfort and effectiveness of the particular sport of which they are participating in. So what you're going to see is that it's really, really, really come a long way. The beginning goes way, way back, and we go back to the days of, you know, when they were first racing bicycles way back in the day. They were just kind of wearing basic clothing, and there wasn't very much out there as far as bicycle clothing. But then there was, you know, the cyclists would wear, quite honestly, the men would wear knickers back in the day. And that was kind of a common thing for them to wear, because the knickers kept you from getting pants caught in the chain, because that would be a problem and can be a problem. So the knickers cut off at the bottom of the knee, and they were very comfortable and very effective to use while they're riding. So that's kind of a neat thing. Then along comes a company by the name of Castelli. And Castelli has been in the bicycle clothing business for a very long time. And back to more 134 years to a small tailoring shop in Milan, which was actually founded by Vittore Gianni. The company took a definitive turn towards cycling in 1935 when one Armando Castelli became part of Gianni's staff. And eventually Castelli had purchased the business from Gianni, and that's when things really started to kick off, because Castelli started making, they started making clothing that was a little bit more oriented towards more effective clothing for the comfort of the cyclist. So enter the land of wool. Yes, good old wool. Wool sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? You go out on a hot day, you're going to wear a pair of wool shorts. Well, you know what? When I started cycling many, many years ago, and we're going back 40 years now or more, and we were wearing wool shorts because that's what was available. We wore wool shorts, and we wore them with a chamois in the inside, which is a piece of equipment which is used to wick moisture off of your body. And that chamois was made out of deer skin. So it was a very effective way of absorbing moisture from your body, but it was not necessarily the best way to keep yourself from having problems with bacteria, because the chamois really had to be cleaned out well, and you had to rinse them really well and then dry them before you could ride on them again. And then they would get, we used to call it crusty. They would get kind of hard, and you would take a special lube and you would put that lube onto the chamois and bring the chamois back so it would be comfortable again to ride on. But that goes way, way back. And but not really that far. And then they pushed through, back in, you know, 1935 on up until really, I think I remember seeing the synthetics coming in place probably the late 70s, early 80s, and we started seeing these synthetic fabrics coming in that were making a big difference. By the way, I am not a, I'm not against wool. Wool is possibly one of my favorite fabrics to wear. I love wool. It keeps you warm, and there are some very good wools out there that are super thin that you don't even realize are wool, but they wick moisture off of your body. Wool will absorb 3 times the amount of moisture as another fabric will, so it'll actually absorb it and draw it away from your body. Wool breathes really well. It's a natural fabric. It really is a wonderful thing. And there are still some wool people out there in this world right now. And there are still companies that make wool and make wool jerseys. It's merino wool usually is what people are using. And it is not as itchy as the old original wool. So it definitely is a good thing. So moving on from wool, though, we get into the synthetics. And we get into what became a more, that it's a lighter weight and breathable fabric, which would draw moisture through and outside of the body. And this is something that will make you comfortable because it'll bring the moisture away from your body, which is nice. and it'll also breathe really well, so it'll cool you down. If once it does get a little bit damp, you get a little bit of a breeze through it, you actually feel that it's quite comfortable to wear. So synthetics came in, and hence the Lycra short came into play. And the Lycra short is a very effective way of wearing a bicycle short. And the key to the bicycle short, I was having this discussion this morning in my class, and I have a new member that is taking my spin class in the early morning on Wednesday morning, and she was not wearing cycling shorts, and she said, "Oh, the saddle just seems really, really hard this morning." Well, you know, you have good days and bad days. That's what it is. But I asked her if she had cycling shorts, and she said no, she didn't, and she was a little worried about, you know, the way they look, the way they feel. Was intimidated by them, and they can be intimidating, especially if you buy the right one. So what do I mean by that? Well, this is really simple. If it feels like it's really too tight on you, and it feels like it's almost to the point where you're a little uncomfortable about going out in public with them, you've got the right size on. A lot of people I see, and Fran and I do a lot of rides where we'll go and we'll do these organized rides, and I would say that 50% of the people that are riding their bicycles are riding with the wrong size shorts on. And that comes from me being someone who worked in the bicycle clothing business for a number of years, and it was really easy to pick it out because people would worry about having, you know, they don't want to feel like a stuffed sausage, I guess is kind of one way of putting it.
So I guess it's a sweet spot. You want to have a pair of shorts that fits you like a second skin but doesn't bind you. See, I don't care. I kind of don't really care what, I mean, to an extent, I don't care what I look like. I care that the shorts have a good chamois, that the chamois is comfortable. And will we explain what a chamois is?
Yeah, I started to, yeah. But I just started with the old deerskin chamois. I haven't gotten into the details of what the current synthetic chamois are all about. But go ahead.
All right. So when you wear a pair of bicycle shorts, it's this lovely pair of Lycra shorts. I really like wearing exercise clothing that doesn't get in the way. And I remember when I was a kid and I would ride a bicycle you know, you would wear whatever clothes you had. You didn't wear bicycle clothes. You just went out and rode your bike. And so if you were wearing a pair of pants and they were loose, they could get caught in the chain. They could get dirty. And they also weren't designed to handle sweat. And they didn't move with you. And so now I appreciate a bicycle outfit because, and for workout wear in general, I want the workout wear to not get in the way of what I'm doing, feel good while I'm wearing it. And also, even now you have workout wear that can enhance what you're doing. I love a pair of bicycle shorts that is enhanced so that there's some compression going on. And now compression wear is a big buzzword in fitness wear, that when you have compression, it encourages more circulation and more venous return.
Right.
And so you can have less fatigue if you wear compression wear. Also, if you wear, we were doing that one year where we would wear compression stockings after our rides, and we stopped doing that.
Yeah, there's been some mixed reactions as far as compression goes, but I think it still works. I think it's still very effective. The thing that you said when you first started was, and the key word here is you talked about second skin.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the point that we're trying to make here. It should feel like it's your skin. It should feel like a second skin. That's how tight you want the shorts to fit, because that way you can move with them and they can be a part of your body without being a part of your body.
And I have a couple pair of shorts that are actually too tight. And they constrict me a little bit, and I'll still wear them because I like the shorts, but that's not good either. You don't want them to be so tight that they feel constricting. They should be of a type of fabric that has enough give so that they fit on your body, but they shouldn't be hanging off you either.
So here's my suggestion. If you are making that big step and you're going to go and buy yourself a pair of cycling shorts and you've never had them before, and you're really worried about this because it's like, what's everybody going to think? The neighbors are going to look at me funny when I ride it or whatever.
Oh, boy.
And if you're thinking that way, this is not uncommon. You
yeah,
have to understand.
I guess so.
This is a normal thing. I talk to people about this all the time.
Yeah.
I talk to them when I'm in bike stores. I talk to them about, and they'll be walking in and they'll say, well, you know, I just started doing spin class and, you know, I'm having a little bit of a problem. You know, I get a little chafed and I'm not feeling very comfortable. And my spinning instructor said I should go and I should get a pair of bike shorts. And I'm just really worried about it. And, you know, because I say, well, there's the first thing. You're the only one who's worried about it. No one else is. Don't worry about it. You know, it's not like everyone's going to go, ooh, look at you. You're in like for shorts. It's not going to be that way. You just kind of have to get over that part. But the big thing I tell them all about how it has to be a second skin. I tell them all about the fact that they want them to fit tight but comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the third thing I do, and this is a big one, is when you are putting the shorts on, once you pulled them on and put them all in place, you need to crouch down and get into the same position that you would be while sitting on the bike. Because if you're just standing up and you've got this big inflated chamois underneath you and you're just standing there like you're wearing a regular pair of walking shorts or running shorts or hiking shorts, it's going to feel really, really weird. But when you drop down to that seated position that you would be on the bike, so you kind of bend over a little bit, kind of stick your rear end out, they will fit you. And you'll go, oh,
right.
I got it. So I always instruct people to, you know, do the crouch test, because the crouch test is really the way to understand the effectiveness of it. And then once you get on the bike and you go out for your first ride with a pair of cycling shorts, you're going to come back and go, why didn't I do this 10 years ago? because it really is a huge improvement as far as your comfort goes on the bike. The chamois, as we'll get into a little bit more on the chamois, is a piece of equipment that is sewn into the inside of the cycling short. You actually sit on the chamois, and the chamois is now all of them are synthetic now. We don't use any deer skin anymore. That's pretty much a done deal. Because of the fact that there was problems with getting it clean enough and keeping the bacteria off of it, it's much easier now to use a synthetic product. The chamois will run anywhere from 2 to 10 millimeters in thickness. So it has a thickness to it. Some are more padded than others. Some chamois actually have gel in the inside of them too, like a gel which is made to give you a little bit more cushion when you go over bumps in the road, that sort of thing. That's a personal situation there as to whether you want to have a gel chamois or not. I find that the gel chamois, unless they're specifically made for more of a performance type of gel, I find them to be a little too squishy and they feel a little odd when you ride on them. So I'm not a big believer in the real thick gel chamois. I like the really thin gel chamois, and those are fine. But the chamois is designed, it's antibacterial, and it's antimicrobial, and it will basically keep you from getting chafed when you're riding your bike. And it will absorb moisture. There's certain points of your body where you get more moisture than other places. Obviously, down where you're sitting, under your arms, those are places that sweat more, and so therefore you're going to have more perspiration. Yes?
Yeah. Well, I'm female.
Yeah. And then there's that. That opens another can of worms, which we probably can explore in another time, because I don't know how deep we can get into this, but there are specifics with females and bicycles and chamois that are, Fran has done some great clinics when we've gone out for rides. She will give you because Fran is a naturopathic physician, she will give you the doctor's perspective on the woman on the chamois, and also the women's saddle and all those things too, which we could talk about women's saddles at some point too, which would be kind of a neat thing. But
well, the big thing, I'll just do an annotated version, and when you're not annotated, an abridged version, and when you want me to elaborate, I will. But one of the big things about, there's a few issues with women, and one is that we have mucous membranes that are interfacing. So by the way, women and men, you didn't say this, but really, when you're wearing bicycle shorts, no underpants.
Oh, right.
It's
right.
Your commando.
That's a key point, too.
Right. You do not want anything between you and the chamois. Because because the chamois is there to cushion you and to prevent you from chafing. And if you have a pair of underpants there, it's going to chafe. It's going to rub back and forth, and you are going to get more chafed. And it serves no purpose. It's not going to absorb sweat for you. It's not going to do the functions that you need that chamois to do. So when you are female, and even when you're male, I'm going to throw out there another issue for with a chamois is some people need and want to use chamois cream or butter or lotion, and some don't. I must. If I don't, it's not an option for me not to. Some people think it's people think it's an admission of defeat if you need to wear chamois butter. I don't understand that at all. I think you should do whatever you need to do to make yourself comfortable.
Why would that be an admission of defeat?
Because you're chafing more and you need something extra to help you not
so
chafe.
So do something about it.
I know.
I mean, that's not something that's not a shameful thing.
I know.
It's just, you know, if you have that problem, then use the cream. We use cream all the time.
To me, it's a health issue. And there's wonderful, I like to use all natural chamois butters. I have a couple that are my favorites, but I like ones that have all natural ingredients in them, like shea butter. They'll have essential oils in them that are antimicrobial, like peppermint oil. Peppermint oil also it numbs you a little bit, so it's not as uncomfortable. The chafing is less uncomfortable. And there'll be tea tree oil and lavender, something that's soothing. There can be calendula, and if they have a shea butter base, I really really like that, because shea butter is a nice fat that will stay put, and it's very good for your skin. So you can get 100% natural, wonderful chamois butters. And I have a favorite one that I use. I have one that my local herbalist makes, and another one that I buy commercially. So that's real important. So for women, we have a couple issues. One is that because we have mucous membranes, getting chafed can be really awful, and to the point where it hurts to pee. So getting yourself to the place where you don't have that issue. So having the good chamois, having the chamois butter, and then the other thing is when you're perimenopausal, and many women who ride are perimenopausal or postmenopausal, because guess what? When you're that age, you have the time and money to ride. Mm-hmm. So look at who's in the bike club, mostly older ladies, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
And the women who are riding long are women who are done with their childbearing.
Right.
So when you get into your menopause, you tend to be drier. So you tend to have more issues there. And so, believe it or not,
lubrication is good.
Lubrication is good. Chamois butter is good. And vulvar care is important when you're talking about riding a bicycle.
Yes.
So if you want me to elaborate them more than another time, we'll talk about the
we
saddle
can do
as
this
well.
Another, you know, I think okay. we should, because right. this is probably a pretty interesting subject that we could get into, just the effectiveness of the whole cycling, the women's view on this, because not only has the clothing been designed around this, but and then there's other things like chamois creams, etc., but there's also saddles and other various things you can do as a woman cyclist. I think we're going to reserve this for another show, because
okay.
this would be a subject that we could spend a lot of time on.
Yeah.
Moving on, the rest of the situation here is, okay, so we talked about shorts. Now, there's a couple of different types of shorts. There's your regular basic shorts, which have an elastic waistband on them, and then a lot of the shorts will have a band which runs around the leg, which keeps the short from creeping up or down on the leg, which is nice. That makes it, again, behave like a second skin. And so you've got this protection, and you've got that way it doesn't creep up on you, and then you don't get chafed by the nose of the saddle. So it's all done for a reason. It's all there for a very good reason. The other type of short that is out is called a bib short. Actually, there are a number of different shorts, but I'll go down the list here. Since we're on Lycra right now, we're going to work with the Lycra style of short. The bib short looks kind of like it looks like fitness wear from the 20s, or an old bathing suit from then. It actually has a built-in set of suspenders that are sewn right onto the short itself. So when you put them on, it is like a bib. So you actually have shoulder straps which come around the top, and these stay up really nicely on your body. And they're the reason you go for this is because it takes that elastic waistband away. So if you have that elastic waistband cutting into you, you are going to have two problems. One is if you're carrying a little extra poundage in that area, which a lot of people do, then it's going to cut in. It's going to be uncomfortable. But the other one, and the big one, is, and why bib shorts were originally created, is because it will cut in and pinch on your diaphragm. And you want your diaphragm to be free of movement so you can breathe really well. So a bib short enhances performance also, which is a big deal. And they're also very, very comfortable. I own a lot of bib shorts, and I always tell people, you know, when they say, how come you wear bib shorts? What are those? Those are kind of silly. And I'll go, actually, they're not. And I said, once you go bib, you never go back. And it's just one of those things, you know, it's a very, very comfortable thing. And once you realize it, it's wonderful. And yes.
I'm a woman.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk.
Well, this is a problem with women because, you see, women don't like bib shorts as much.
That's not that we don't like. You're right. All the things about comfort apply to us, and performance,
right,
they still apply to us.
But the ladies' room is a problem.
Yes, it is. It's a silly issue, and it's because, well, you know, if you have to go to the bathroom, whether you're using the porta potty or a regular bathroom or you're going in the woods, it's just easier. The apparatus is much easier to access.
Yes,
for us, we have to pull our pants down.
You got to get undressed.
We have to get undressed. And if you have suspenders on, then it's underneath your jersey.
Right.
And so you have to take your shirt off and then take the bibs off, and it's a real pain. So when I, unfortunately, as much as I would love to wear bibs on a long ride, I don't, for
see,
that reason.
On a long ride, I can see that. But I do note that a lot of the women who are racing bicycles, they're all wearing bibs.
Because of
the performance issue.
Of course.
You know, you're getting that less constriction around your diaphragm, so you can breathe better, so you're getting better performance out of it.
But you're absolutely right.
I mean, if your race is only, you know, if you are racing your bike and you're wearing a pair of bibs and your race is only for an hour, or maybe even 2 hours, it's fine, because you're not going to stop for a bathroom break on a 2-hour race.
No.
You're just not going to do it.
Probably not.
So that's not going to be an issue. But yeah, if you're out on a long ride, it's a problem. It definitely is a problem. And there are some shorts that are designed to have a removable system so that you can actually do that. But they're still problematic.
So here's the thing. I have two pairs of bib shorts that have a removable system.
Right.
The issue with those is the way that the removable system works. In the front, they have little plastic. They're little plastic, like hook and eye. Not exactly hook and eyes.
They're not hook and eyes. They're not snaps, but they kind of interlock.
These two interlocking plastic pieces that sit flat. They're very nice. As long as they don't break, they're lovely.
Mm-hmm.
The back is not as nice because it's Velcro, and you can feel the Velcro. So for that, I don't know if I would even want to wear those bibs for very long rides. The nicest bibs are ones that don't have that they're just all one piece.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you have that snapping situation, you could theoretically get out of them without having to take your jersey off. I think that's why that company designed them that way.
Exactly. But, and there are a number of companies that have made an attempt at that. No one seems to really have it down at this point.
No,
because you're still going to end up with the strap system underneath your jersey. And it's going to be dangling under there because you've had to release it from the shorts, and then you're going to have to find a way to reattach it.
And you have to find it again.
It's problematic.
Yeah. So I don't bother.
Yeah, yeah.
I love those bibs. I do wear them on short training rides when I'm not going to need to.
Right. And the good part of that is if you don't want to wear them with the bib, you can just leave the bib part alone at home.
Yes.
Except you don't have any elastic around your waist, and then they
you don't have
fall
elastic.
Down.
Right. And you also have the you have the Velcro sticking out and rubbing your back, and then you have the little the plastic bits against you. So anyway,
those are tough. Those are tough. You know, the first modern women's the first modern bib short that actually came in 1998. You believe that? That's a fairly new technology. if you want to call 98 new. But anyway, now we move on to, okay, all right, you guys are talking about this tight Lycra stuff. I do not want to walk out into the public in tight Lycra because I'm embarrassed by this and I am modest and I don't believe that this is a good thing for me to do. So what do you do for that? You still want that protection. So there's a couple of ways of doing this. One is you get yourself a pair of those nice tight Lycra shorts and you wear them underneath a pair of shorts that you are more fashionably happy with. And you can do that. Or they actually make shorts. Many of them are made for mountain bicycling because the mountain bicycle people tend to want to have more of a cargo style short. They can carry things in the pockets. They can, they're it's more their style. And you can get a something like that or a touring short that will have an actual Lycra insert built into the inside of the short or possibly removable from the inside of the short. And that'll make it so that no one will ever know that you have the effective part of the short on your body. And also, if you get a specific short like that, you will find that they are sewn specially so that the seams are not running into areas that will irritate you. Even though you have the Lycra shorts on underneath, you don't want to have a big bulky seam right down the middle of the short. So they're designed around that too. So there are ways around it. And you can still look fashionable. You can go down to the coffee shop and be wearing a pair of cycling shorts and no one will know the difference. And yet you'll still have the protection you're looking for. So that's shorts, and shorts are, that's only part of the bicycle uniform. The other part of the bicycle uniform is the top that you would wear. Again, I started out back in the 70s when I was riding my bicycle very seriously, and I first got involved in it. It was wool. It was always wool. It was merino wool, and great fabric, draws a lot of moisture off your body. It's a natural fabric. It breathes really well. And really comfortable. And yes, even on a really hot day, I wore wool jerseys because they wicked so well. They drove so much moisture off your body and they breathed so you could feel the air going through them. So they were very, very nice. And then we moved on to the world of synthetics. And when we got into the world of synthetics, the technical fabric started coming out, the technical fibers. You see them in a lot of different athletic uniforms that are out there, not just bicycle uniforms. But runners are using technical fabric. Football players are using technical fabric. Baseball players are using technical fabric. It's all for comfort, so you can actually get the fabric to breathe so you can feel comfortable while you're performing your sport and not overheat. And that's a key point right there, too. You want to wick the moisture off, and you don't want to overheat. And yet, at the same time, you want to have a fabric that you're going to have on your body that is also going to keep you warm by not being all sticky and stuck to you. So one of the worst things you can wear when you're going out for a bicycle ride is a cotton shirt, because even though cotton is wonderful and it breathes and it's a natural fabric and all, when it gets wet, it gets wet and it gets really heavy. And also the other thing that happens with it is if then the temperature starts to change and it starts getting cold and now you're wearing a completely soaked cotton t-shirt, boy, are you going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be freezing to death. So that's not a good thing either. So anyway, technical fabrics come in. Technical fabrics make a big difference. Lycra is something that is used often. It's a polyester and it wicks moisture, and it also is pretty form-fitting. You can make it so it fits pretty tight. If you're a racing type of cyclist or a fitness type of cyclist and you're working out and you want to have the best performance feel and look when you're riding on the bike, you get something that's fairly snug. If you do not want to look that way and you're worried about that or don't have the body which is going to work well with that, then you can get something that's got a little bit looser fit. They make different cuts. I warn people about European clothing because the European clothing, they tend to be a little tighter fit than the American clothing is, because the Americans tend to be a little more fit than we are here in the U.S. Sometimes our bodies are a little bit bigger and a little different than they are in other parts of the world. So there's actually American cut fabric with products that you can buy out there that are bicycling specific. So you can also wear, you know, anything that you might have that is a polyester type of clothing that you could wear if you want to be fashionable. And then there's also very fashionable wear that's out there that is very urban and mountain bike oriented, which makes it look like you're wearing normal clothes, but once again, very functional. Why is it functional? Because A, the fabric they're using, B, the way it's cut, so that it actually is cut so that when you're sitting in the cycling position on your bike, you don't have any exposed skin, which is good. So those are reasons why you might want to try something like that.
And they come in urban fashionable styles. They come
they
in
do.
Like, you know, those sort of, you know, hipster millennial print patterns. It'll be for women, there's neat print patterns. And for guys, there's plaid, you know, those plaid with the solid patches, and they're snapped. And they're actually in wicking. They're in technical fabrics, but they're very hip looking. And then the pants that go with them, they're very functional. They'll often have a lot of pockets in them. And I will wear some of those pants, you know, I'll wear them because I'm going to go somewhere where I might ride in them, but also they're just comfortable and they often have a lot of pockets. And when I go through security at TSA, they stop me.
Because of the pockets
on
the back?
They search the pockets. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, you know.
How to not get stopped in TSA. Don't wear cargo shorts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, cargo shorts are tough because they're gonna wave the wand all over and go through that
and
whole
pat
thing.
You down.
Yeah, and pat you down. But I wear cargo shorts all the time. I like cargo shorts because they're smart. They make sense. I can carry stuff in them. So that's a good thing. But anyway, there's ways that you can be wearing a bicycle-oriented piece of clothing, and also you can be fashionable at the same time. So there's a couple of different ways of looking at this. And over the years, you know, because I am a rep in the bicycle industry, I've worked for a number of different companies that are clothing companies. I currently do not, but it's an ever-growing industry, and we're always trying to figure out best ways to get people involved in wearing more clothing. So one of the reasons why I thought about this is as I was going to the community center this morning to teach my spin class, it was chilly out. It was really like kind of cold. It was, you know, it was in the 60s, maybe in the high 50s.
I went out for my ride this morning. I was wearing knickers and arm warmers, which you can talk about.
Yeah,
and
that's where I'm going. That's exactly where I'm going. So anyway, as Fran said, she went out for a ride this morning and it was chilly. And when I pulled into the parking lot of the community center, my local buddies were getting ready to go for a bike ride. And Mike was leading his merry men out for a ride, which they do at, you know, 5:30 in the morning, so they can fit it in before they go to work. And yeah, it's too early for me to be outside, but it's really not. I mean, I'm on a spin bike at 5:45. It's not that big a deal. But the thing is, you when you're riding outside, especially this time of year, you get a day like today, which is a gorgeous day, by the way. It's beautiful outside. It's 75, 80 degrees outside. It's gorgeous. It's kind of one of those, I think they call this one of the top 10 days of the year in the weather world. And it is a wonderful thing. If you're listening and you're listening to the podcast and you're from San Diego, it's just another day. So it's, you know, there are places in the world that the weather is always perfect. But anyway, that would be one of them. Anyway, the wonderful day, but it starts out chilly in the morning. So what do you do? What do you do? I looked over at these guys and they're all wearing shorts. And I just shook my head. And
no knee warmers.
No knee warmers. No, which that's a piece of equipment I'm going to talk about. So anyway, you're going out for a bike ride. It's 55 or 60 degrees. Let's say it's 55 degrees. Let's pick a temperature right there. And 55 degrees, you know, I mean, I wear shorts when I go for a walk or when I run at 55, no big deal. No, it is not a big deal because you're not going fast. But when you're going down a hill and you're going down a hill at 35 or 40 miles an hour and you add the wind chill factor onto that 55 degrees, it's not 55 anymore. It's 35. and you're exposing your joints, which are really important to you, especially your knees when you're cycling, to this really, really severe cold, which is not good for them. It's not good at all. So you want to wear some sort of protection on your legs when you're riding in temperatures like this. That's just the beginning. A couple of things you can do, you can wear these wonderful things which are called knee warmers. They're really inexpensive. They're available at all the local bike shops. So just check with your local store and ask them if they have knee warmers. They come in a variety of sizes, and they simply slide up your leg, and they fit, again, snug to your body. So they fit pretty snug on your body. You bring them up and underneath the short, and then bring the short over the top of it, and you have now effectively made yourself a pair of knickers.
And they come in a variety of lengths. So you can get them so that they just cover your knees, and you can get them so they come mid-calf or all the way down to your legs. And the cool thing about the two very important things about them is they can be removed. So if you go out and it's early in the morning, it's in the mid-50s, and it's a day like today where it's going to get up to the 80s and you're going to be out for a while, you can take them off and they roll up easily, and you put them in the pocket of your cycling jersey. And also, they're economical. They make it so that you don't have to buy a pair in certain levels of weather. If you only have a couple of pair of shorts, you can wear those same shorts and then add the knee warmers on a day where you're going to leave them on the whole ride.
Sure.
And you don't have to buy a pair of tights.
Right.
There gets to be a point, though, if you're going to be riding in the cold where you kind of have to have
tights. Well, it's a temperature range. It's really what it comes down to is if you're riding somewhere between 50 and 70 degrees, let's say, Fahrenheit, and you're... The knee warmer is a very effective piece of equipment. If it gets down to that lower point, down closer to 50 degrees, and it's not going to get a lot warmer, you might want to consider a pair of tights instead, or even a pair of leg warmers, which are similar to the knee warmers, only they're longer. And then the other thing that you can look at is that they make them in different thicknesses.
And fabrics.
So you can get ones that are super thin, and they're just, you know, shielding your leg from the wind and giving you just a little bit of heat comfort there. And then you can get ones that are a thicker, fleecier type that will give you a lot more heat benefit from that. So,
and you can get your favorite fabric, wool.
Yeah, or you can get them in wool.
Yeah, yes. I have a pair of wool arm warmers.
Yes, and then that brings us to arm warmers, which is the next thing on the list. So now you've got the leg warmer and the knee warmer problem solved. But hey, I'm cold up top now. You know, I've got a short sleeve jersey on. It's chilly. Well, I could just put a jacket on. And it's true. You could just put a jacket on. That is one way of getting around that. You throw a light jacket on. They make amazing jackets that are either breathable or they're water resistant or waterproof. You can get them either way. They also make jackets that are just made with a light fabric, which will just take that little bit of a chill off. And that works great. But then when it gets warm out, you've got the problem with, okay, now I've got this jacket. What do I do with this jacket? Well, some of the really light stuff you can actually take off. And you find these specifically at bicycle shops which sell this sort of thing, and you can crumple these things up. I have a jacket that I can take, and I can crumple it up to the size of my fist, and I can slide it in my back pocket. So it's really like an essential piece of equipment. It really works well. But if you don't want to go the jacket route and you want to keep yourself warm, you can use something called arm warmers. And yes, they are big sleeves that you slide onto your arms, and you want them to fit fairly snug. They come in a variety of thicknesses. I have my favorite pair are wool. I love them. They're great. They just wick really nicely. They're super comfortable, and they're the warmest ones that I have. But you can get them in the Lycra or the synthetic fabric. But again, it has to fit like a second skin. It's got to fit snug against your body. I particularly like the wool ones because they're knit, and they seem to stay in place better than some of the other ones do. But most of the arm warmers will have little grippers at the tops, and that will grip around the top of your arm, and then you just have the sleeve of your jersey go over the top. So there you have it. You've got that. The other thing that I talk about when it gets a little bit cooler too is base layers. Although not only in cool weather, our base layer is effective. They're also very effective in hot weather too, which a lot of people don't wear them that way. But I do notice that the people who are racing on a professional level, the performance level cyclists, will be wearing a base layer even on a super hot day, because it does help keep your body more comfortable when you're riding. Even though it is adding another layer, it's actually helping draw more of that moisture off of your body. So it's very, very nice as far as that goes. So a base layer, they also come in all different thicknesses, all different levels, depending on what you're looking for. Again, your local professionals can help you with that sort of thing and give you some guidance in that direction. But I'm a big, big believer in technical clothing and technical fabrics. They make all the difference in the world, and they keep you warm. So I'm sure that my buddies were fine this morning, and they probably survived their ride just fine. I think there were a lot of screaming yellow, please don't hit me yellow jackets that were rolling out of the parking lot this morning. So I know their upper bodies were warm, but I worry about their knees, because none of us are that young any longer, and our knees are the only ones we get, and it sure is nice to protect them. So it does make a big difference if you can keep things covered and protected. When you get into the really cold weather, yeah, they make some way high technical clothing. I mean, people climb Everest. You know, there's technical clothing involved there. There's technical clothing for bicycles, too. You can ride in all weather if you want to. If you're a commuter and you're going to ride 365 days a year, you're going to ride your bike. That's how you transport yourself. Invest in some good technical clothing, because it does make a difference. There's wonderful, breathable, waterproof clothing out there. So if you get caught in a rainstorm or, oh gosh, a snowstorm, you can at least be protected from the moisture as far as that goes and still be comfortable underneath. There's a lot of ways of protecting yourself from the elements that are out there, depending on how cold you can handle it. I personally draw a line at a certain temperature, because my feet and my hands just can't stay warm enough. And again, you know, they make special clothing for that. They make really, really good gloves for that. And they make really, really good shoes and booties and all these coverings that will keep you extra warm. When we get deeper into the fall season, I can talk a little bit more about winter clothing and riding in winter and the ideas that we might have to help anybody out with their winter riding expeditions.
Well, the other thing we hear as cyclists is your clothing is, not only is it tight fit, but it's really loud. Those obnoxious loud colors.
I have a great story on that one. So yeah. This woman was at a bike shop, and she started ranting about, what is with you people in your clown suits? That's what she said. People in our clown suits.
Good. And clown suit, good.
Yeah, and I heard that, and I said, thank you so much. And she looked at me funny and said, what do you mean? And I said, you see me.
Right. You noticed me.
And she said, well, yes, I see you. She said, you guys look ridiculous.
Excellent.
And all I could think was, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. She can see me. So why do we wear bright clothing?
So you don't die.
We wear bright clothing so you can see us. So now you know we're there. If you're concerned about the fact that we wear bright clothing, which seems obnoxious and outrageous.
Good.
Great. You saw me. It's wonderful. That's what we need. And It's real, real important that we are seen. So a lot of our clothing is designed around sight also, mm-hmm. to draw attention to the colors so that you can actually see us riding our bicycles down the road.
And high vis is a thing now.
High vis is a big deal, and it's a big deal not only with bicyclists, but you see it with road workers.
Yes,
they're all construction wearing workers. High vis now. Construction workers who are just working on the construction sites around yep. campus here mm-hmm. are all wearing high vis clothing. Why are they doing that? Because accidents happen. People don't see you. A construction worker could be working on a site, and another person could be driving a piece of equipment and not see him. But now they can, because they're all wearing high-vis. So you'll see high-vis T-shirts, and you'll see on most of the construction workers here on campus right now.
So from now on in the morning when I'm doing my morning training rides, I'm going to wear extremely high-vis. I guess I can't wear that nice Carmichael jersey anymore.
I would be, at certain times of the day, especially drive time.
And when you're by yourself.
And when you're by yourself, I think that it's not a bad idea to wear something that's fairly
visible.
Well,
I had an incident today.
Oh, dear.
It wasn't good.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Was it a truck?
This is what happened. I was coming down a road. Fortunately, I was not at, I'm not going to say which road because I don't want to directly call out this person. And I didn't stop to talk to her after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have, but I didn't have time and I was okay. So anyway, what happened was, and listen to this, everybody, please, so that you, I almost died today. Okay.
Well, that's not good. You didn't tell me that.
Wasn't time.
Okay.
So what happened was I was coming down a road that I come down all the time. I was all by myself. There was nobody on the road, no cars, no nothing, just me coming down the road. There was a person who was pulling out of their driveway. They were out of their driveway, and fortunately, they were pulling out, and they were facing the road. They were not backing out. They were pulling out, and they were in a very large SUV, like a really large SUV.
It was a truck.
And this woman stopped. She looked both ways, and I didn't trust her, so I slowed down. For some reason, I just didn't trust her. So she looked both ways. I saw her look both ways. And then she turned left, and she came right towards me, and I was coming towards her. And I'm like, she's really going. Oh, my God, she's really going.
Yep.
And thankfully, I must have pretty good instincts and somewhat decent handling skills because I rode off the road. I rode into the grass.
Smart move.
And I'm like, oh, my God, where am I going to go? And I remember that scene in Premium Rush where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is seeing the car coming at him, and he's calculating which he's going to get hit, which is going to do the least damage.
Well, you look to shoot the hole is what you're looking for. You're looking for the best way out of a bad situation.
And this woman's car was so big that the only place for me to go was the grass. Thank God I went
Good
into
choice.
The grass. And there was enough grass that I didn't go rolling down an embankment. It was just like when I was going up App Gap, I went into the grass and I stopped and no problem at all. And I was perfectly safe. She didn't hit me at all. She stopped because she realized what had happened. I didn't yell out to her. Then I just sort of went around her and went my way. And if I'd had time, I would have tried to chase her down because I was a little freaked out. Naturally.
But I think that if she stopped, she was certainly concerned about you, which is thank you very much for stopping, first of all. If you do have an incident with a cyclist on the road or a runner on the road or a pedestrian on the road and you have a near miss like that, thank you for stopping. If you do
stop.
If you don't stop, please consider it next time.
Well, she only stopped because she realized she was I don't mean that she stopped along the side of the road. She stopped when she finally saw me in the grass.
Right.
She stopped her vehicle and then I went around her and then she went her way. She was stopped in the middle of the road. It wasn't like she was stopped on the side of the road meaning to talk to me. I could have gone around her and said, yo, this just happened. So I just really want to encourage people, please, when you're looking both ways, look for cyclists. We can be by ourselves. We can be anywhere. I mean, I could have been a pedestrian, too. This woman must have been in a rush or something because she even looked both ways and she didn't see me, which is kind of concerning to me. It made me rethink what I was wearing because I was wearing my Carmichael jersey. It's kind of dark blue, but it does have some yellow and white on it.
So I have a question for you. How close to the edge of the road were you?
What do you mean?
How close to the right side of the road were you? How close to, were you in the middle of your lane? Were you on the edge of the road?
I was going down this road that I always go down all the time. I was probably not all the way over to the right. I was probably in the, close to the middle of the lane.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's
and,
good.
Because there was no reason for me to be hugging the right side because the road was empty. There's
exactly.
There's no car, there was nobody anywhere.
But this is a point. This is definitely a point. Now, obviously, she just didn't see you, and that's what the problem was. If you had something bright on, that would have helped a lot. So that would have been a good clothing issue there.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's a couple of things that you can do that would effectively make this work better. But you were doing the right thing. She just missed you, and it can happen. I had someone who was hugging the side of the road, and I went to pull out of our driveway the other day, and I almost hit a cyclist who was just too far to the right. I never saw her because we have trees on the edge of the road, and I couldn't see her. If she was out in the middle of the road, I would have seen her. So here's the argument here. People get upset with us riding our bicycles in the middle of the road, yet we are much, much safer when we're in the middle of the road. If you take a look at the League of American Bicyclists, you'll see that that's what they instruct people in their courses is to ride in the middle of the road. Get out there so that people can see you, especially if you have traffic coming at you. So it's important. But that's something that we try to emphasize this to drivers or what I like to say, people in cars, that this time of year there are people on bikes and there are people running. And these people are they're out there. And as we get, you know, we're in a cold part of the country. So, you know, it's more popular this time of year than it is during the winter times of the year. But yet there are people out on bicycles and people walking and people running at that time, too. You just got to stop looking for just cars, you know, just realize that there's more on the road today than there used to be. And there's more there's other things out there besides cars. And yes, you know, you are obviously looking for cars too, because you don't want to pull out in front of a car or get hit or, you know, or have a problem like that. But just look twice, look three times, you know, double and triple check yourself and make sure that everything's cool before you make that pull out. Because we're very vulnerable as cyclists. We are super vulnerable. So bring us back to the clothing issue. We wear bright clothing. That's why we wear bright clothing. That's what it's all about. The brighter, the better. That works really good. And I also think of specific things during certain times of the year. If it's winter and it's and there's snow on the edge of the road, I wear something dark. Because I want to stick out.
Yes.
Okay. I wear something dark because now I'm look different than the surroundings.
Right.
Because everything is white around me, so therefore I'll wear something dark.
And I was wearing blue. The jersey is mostly blue. It's got a little bit of yellow and a little bit of white. It's mostly blue. It's going to blend in.
It's kind of a navy blue too. It's a little dark.
It's going to blend in with the green. So I think for my morning solo rides, I'm not going to. It's training jersey. It's Carmichael training on it.
I understand that. But it's, you know, you do have to think about the effectiveness of the clothing that you're wearing and whether it's going to work for you or not and work for others,
today
too.
Today it didn't work.
And today it didn't work. So here's another thing you can do. And I'm going to do an entire show on this coming up in the near future, too. And the other thing that you can do is you can put lights on your bike that flash.
Yeah, I should have done that.
And that's probably a better idea for that time.
Because
of day.
She was turning left, I would have needed a front light.
Right. Exactly. Front and back.
Yeah.
Both. And the little flashing ones really, really work well. So anyway, we're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be wrapping this thing up. I just want to flip back over here. And you are listening to Bicycle Talk. And my name is Ron Meniza. And I am here with my co-host, Fran Storch. And we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. Remember, you can always send us an email if you have ideas for the show. We would love to hear from you. That would be at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And this is 91.7 WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut. Thank you for listening.